ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वीर्यापनाय सम्पन्ने ब्राह्मणि कविहस्तिनि सुनिच्छाय वाष्पपाके च पण्डितसमदर्शिनः।
The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A Krishna-conscious person does not make any distinction between species or castes. The Brahmin and the outcast may be different from the social point of view, or a dog, a cow, or an elephant may be different from the point of view of species. But these differences of body are meaningless from the viewpoint of a learned transcendentalist. This is due to their relationship to the Supreme. For the Supreme Lord, by his plenary portion as Paramatma, is present in everyone's heart. Such an understanding of the Supreme is real knowledge. As far as the bodies are concerned in different castes or different species of life, the Lord is equally kind to everyone because he treats every living being as a friend, yet maintains himself as Paramatma, regardless of the circumstances of the living entities. The Lord as Paramatma is present both in the outcast and in the Brahman, although the body of a Brahman and that of an outcast are not the same. The bodies are material productions of different modes of material nature, but the soul and the supersoul within the body are of the same spiritual quality. The similarity in the quality of the soul and the supersoul, however, does not make them equal in quantity, for the individual soul is present only in that particular body, whereas the Paramatma is present in each and every body. A Krishna-conscious person has full knowledge of this, and therefore he is truly a learned and has equal vision. The similar characteristics of the soul and the supersoul are that they are both conscious, eternal, and blissful. But the difference is that the individual soul is conscious within the limited jurisdiction of the body, whereas the supersoul is conscious of all bodies. The supersoul is present in all bodies without distinction. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmani gavihastini suni chaiva swapake cha pandita samadarshanaha. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, outcast. This afternoon we are reading from the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, entitled Action in Krishna Consciousness. In this particular sloka, Lord Sri Krishna is describing the vision of one who has truly acquired the quality of humility, and one who is seeing in the light of knowledge. In the darkness of ignorance, we see everything according to how we can enjoy or suffer due to the existence of that. Therefore, those persons who can help us in our pursuit of happiness in this world, we consider them our friend. And those persons who are, for some reason or other, against our better interest of sense gratification, we consider them our enemy. In this way, the conditioned soul is constantly distinguishing and making distinction between one living being and another. When Prahlad Maharaj was at the Gurukula of his father, Sanda and Amarka, they were teaching him just this: how to get the most from your friends, to exploit them for more and more sense gratification, and how to detect who is your enemy and always be suspicious and cautious and prepare to manipulate, conquer, and destroy them if necessary. So when Prahlad Maharaj was asked, "What have you learned in school?" he says, "All they are teaching me is how to make distinctions between one living entity and another. But as far as I am concerned, this is all a great illusion." A self-realized soul such as Prahlad Maharaj sees the soul, which is part of God, within the heart of every living being. Because he is not concerned with his own personal material interests, he is able to see to the spiritual welfare of himself and all others. Therefore, as Krishna is describing here, for such a learned soul who has acquired true knowledge, for him there is no friends and there is no enemies. He simply sees the beloved Lord of his life within everyone and everywhere. Krishna says, "For one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost from me." Of course, it is very easy to theoretically discuss these matters, but to actually put it into practice of our life, that takes a great deal of sincerity. Talk is cheap. Anyone can talk like, "I am a very great soul, I am very benevolent." But when one is tested, and there is risk of life, inconvenience, suffering, then we could understand what is the real quality of our consciousness and when we have understood the truth. In this regard, in the Srimad Bhagavatam 9th canto, there is a beautiful example of this virtue. That is in the story of the great king Rantidev. Rantidev, although king, he was so selfless that he would do nothing for himself. But his every breath, his every action was for the welfare of others. In fact, his family, because of their great love for him and their great respect for his devotion, without ever complaining or criticizing, they followed his path in all respects. So it is described that for the benefit of his kingdom and for the purification of his own heart, Rantidev underwent a fast for 48 days where he did not take any food or any water. After 48 days, when he and his family, who also shared this fast along with him, they were on the verge of death due to hunger, they were given nice fresh water and very opulent and succulent foods made with milk and ghee. So they offered this food to their beloved Lord of their life, Sri Krishna. A devotee is never anxious for his own sense gratification. A devotee is always anxious to please Krishna. A devotee understands that Lord Sri Krishna is the root of all existence. And if the root is satisfied, automatically everything coming from that root will also be nourished. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matya sarvam pravartite iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Krishna says, I am the source of everything material and spiritual. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all of their hearts. So Ranti Dev offered his food to Lord Hari and then sat down with his family and was about to partake, to break this great 48-day fast. Just at the moment when they were about to begin, a learned Brahmin came to their door. I have come to beg alms from you. Ah, Ranti Dev was so happy to see the Brahmin. He was thinking, how wonderful. God is so kind that he has sent this man just to give me an opportunity to render service, just as an opportunity to make a further sacrifice in my life. So with great love in his heart, Ranti Dev divided a portion of the food and sumptuously fed that Brahmin. After the Brahmin had completed and was fully satisfied, then he and his family sat down to partake of the prasad. Just at that moment, a sudra, a low-born laborer by caste distinction, came to his door. Said, my dear sir, I am very hungry. Please, do you have some food? So Ranti Dev took another portion of the food, sat down the sudra, and fed him very sumptuously to his heart's delight. When the sudra left, Ranti Dev again sat down with his family. Whatever little was left, they decided, we will break our fast. At that time, another stranger came to the door with several dogs. And he said, my dear king, my dogs are very hungry, and so am I. Can you spare us some food? So Ranti Dev, with great happiness, thinking, another opportunity to render service. Whatever was left of the food, he fed to the hungry dogs and their master. All that was left was one little portion of water, which was barely enough for one person to drink. And Ranti Dev sat down and was about to drink that water. And at that time, an untouchable Chandala, who's considered of the most forbidden caste in the Hindu culture, this Chandala, or dog eater, came to the door of Ranti Dev and said, I am very thirsty. Please grant me some water. And when Ranti Dev heard this, he became very pleased at his heart. And he began to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. He said, my dear Lord Krishna, Almighty Vishnu, Lord of the world, Master of the devotees, supreme reservoir of all beauty and opulence. I do not desire in this life the 8 mystic perfections, nor do I desire in this life liberation from the sufferings of material existence, nor do I desire any form of elevation in the field of religiosity. I only have one desire. Please fulfill this one desire. And that is, let me remain with the most suffering people within this humanity. and let me suffer for them so that they could be happy. Grant me this one benediction. And then with this prayer in heart, with a heart full of love, he took that last portion of water and he offered it to the chandala, to the outcast. At that point, Ranti Dev, his limbs very weak, his organs in a condition of starvation, he was about to drop dead. And just at the moment before his death, the Brahman, the Sudra, the stranger, and the Chandala, they all appeared and assumed their original forms of Brahma, Shiva, and the various great devatas. And they were so pleased with Ranti Dev, they exclaimed that we have tested you just to see how genuine your compassion to others really is. After all, anyone can be very compassionate, very charitable, and very benevolent when you're not really sacrificing of yourself. Huh? In the Christian world, they say that real charity is when you give till it hurts. Huh? If it doesn't hurt, that means you haven't given enough. So they were so pleased with Bhante Dev that they offered him any benediction he desired of this material world. And when they offered this benediction, Bhante Dev simply fixed his mind on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Because Bhante Dev was fully aware that the real treasure, the real wealth, is the remembrance of the lotus feet of the Lord. The wealth of this world and the benedictions provided by the demigods, as Krishna describes in Gita, kamais thais thayahati jnana prapadyantenya devata tham tham niyamamastaya prakrityanyatasvaya. They are temporary. They could only nourish the senses and the mind. But the great treasure, the great wealth of the divine remembrance of Lord Hari is the fulfillment of all the desires of the soul. Therefore, Ranti Dev was not interested in any benediction other than the remembrance of Krishna. And in that divine remembrance, my Lord, let me suffer for the sake of others. In this way, Ranti Dev, due to his pure devotion to the Lord, is celebrated eternally for his transcendental quality of compassion. Now we notice that when the Brahman came to Ranti Dev, he did not say, "You are a Brahman, you can get food anywhere. Let me wait for the poor man to come." Huh? At the same time, when the poor man, the chandala, the outcast came, he didn't say, "What benefit am I going to give by giving to an outcast? Why don't I give to the Brahmins?" He made no distinction. For that matter, he was as anxious to give to the dogs as he was to the Brahmin. Because he was seeing the sacred duty of service to the Lord in all circumstances of life. Sometimes there is this idea of Daridra Narayan, that the poor man is Narayan, because Narayan is within the poor man's heart. But the fact is, Narayan is also in the rich man's heart. He's also in the heart of the dog and the hog. Ah. So therefore, a saintly person doesn't simply think in terms of helping the downtrodden and poor.
Because factually, from the spiritual point of view, most everyone in society is downtrodden and poor. In our community in West Virginia, New Vrindavan, there is a beautiful monument that was constructed as a memorial or samadhi for our Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So sometimes we are challenged that why you put so much energy into erecting this building when that same money could be feeding the poor and clothing and the people in the street who have nothing. So the answer is very simple. That factually, the devotees are very anxious to feed the poor with nice Krishna prasad and are very anxious to clothe the poor in the street. But what about the rich and the middle class? Why should we neglect them? Spiritually, they are usually more poverty-stricken than the poor. Huh? The greatest threat to real spiritual life is false pride. Usually the poor people have very little to be proud of. This is described by Shukadev Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, when one is very poor, one will allow anyone into their house because they have nothing to lose. So when the great saints and sages come begging for food or begging for whatever, they let them in, they'll hear from them, they have nothing to lose, they have nothing to be proud of. But oftentimes, wealthy people, they are suspicious of everyone. They are always in fear. Why have you come? What do you want? What is he trying to get from me? What is his real motive? I don't want him in here. Oftentimes they have, in our country, they have walls around their houses and gates and barking dogs just to save their fortune. So in this way, oftentimes the wealthy class of men are more spiritually poverty-stricken than those living on the streets. So what about them? Vidya vanaya sampane brahmani gabi hastini suni chaiva svapakicha pandita samadarshana. A real devotee of the Lord sees everyone with equal vision. He wants to uplift and help everyone. Whatever he can do for the poor or the rich, he will do it. So this beautiful monument for our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's palace of gold, it did not take much to build. It was done by the devoted hands of the devotees themselves. And in the meanwhile, it is attracting rich, poor, middle class, all classes of people to come to see and to hear the message of the real goal of life. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna describes that the greatest wealth is transcendental knowledge. He says to Arjuna that there is nothing so pure and nothing so sublime as transcendental knowledge. Because transcendental knowledge opens the doors by which we can become free from all distinctions based on the bodily concept of life. Which means we become free from all the sufferings of the actions and reactions of life. So Ranti Dev, he was equal to all. He was a well-wisher and a friend to all. Even at the cost of his own life, because he understood that to please God is the real purpose of my existence. Atha pum bird vijastreshtas varna shrama vibhagasha shwanustu tasya dharmasya samsadir hari toshanam. In Bhagavatam, it is described that whatever one's occupation, whatever one's duty, whatever one's responsibilities in this world, there's only one goal, and that is to please Krishna. If Krishna is pleased, our life is a success. If Krishna is displeased, our life will soon be revealed to be a miserable failure, a waste. It is described that by pleasing the Lord and by pleasing his devotees, real light is shed upon all living beings. There are many examples throughout history of persons who were willing to endure pain and suffering for others. Paradukaduki. This is the natural quality of a self-realized soul, that his only pain is to see the pain of others, that his only inconvenience is the inconvenience of others, that he sees the Lord in the heart of every living being, therefore he becomes the servant of every living being. This is the definition of love. Real love is not on the basis that you are mine to enjoy. Love in this world is based on bodily attachment. That because you are of me, or I am of you, and because you are giving me happiness and I am giving you happiness, therefore I love you. But real love is causeless. Real love is the love of God. The love of God makes no distinction. Samoham sarvabhuteshu namedveshostina priya. Krishna says, I favor no one. I'm equal to all. Krishna loves every living entity. It is his nature. Aham bija pratapita. He is the father of all living entities. Whether the father is punishing the child or whether the father is rewarding the father equally loves the child. His punishment and his reward are simply expressions of the same divine love. So sometimes Krishna smashes the sinners and casts them into abominable conditions of life. And sometimes he rewards the pious with great prosperity. And sometimes he elevates his pure devotees to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. According to how you are approaching Krishna, he is giving you just what you need, just what you require out of love. But the love is equal to all. So when we become Krishna conscious, when we always remember Krishna, when we realize the divine presence of Krishna within our hearts, and we surrender to him there, then Krishna allows the empty vessel of our pure heart to be the instrument of his love. He allows us to be the medium by which he can show his love to the world. That is the real meaning of surrender. We approach our spiritual master as his divine grace. But whose divine grace are we speaking of? We are speaking of Krishna's divine grace. Krishna's divine grace is manifesting to this world through the hearts of the sadhus. And as soon as you think, it is my mercy, it is my compassion, immediately the circuit is cut. No longer is that connection there. Just like the television, it is receiving the television waves from the television station, and it is simply manifesting in each and every house. But as soon as the circuit is cut, the television is blank. Huh? So similarly, the pure soul, because of his connection to Krishna within his heart, through devotion and surrender, the circuit of the divine mercy of God is manifesting himself to the world through such a sadhu. But as soon as we think, it is mine, I am great, I am merciful, I am charitable, I am benevolent, I am not so bad after all, then immediately the circuit is cut. And then whatever little you have is all you can give. Whatever little you think you have. Yasya hamana grinnami harishyeta dhanam shanai. Krishna is the proprietor of everything. He is the proprietor of whatever qualities you have, whatever wealth you have, whatever knowledge you have. One who is willing to accept this principle, one who is willing to be an instrument on behalf of Krishna, one who is willing to accept suffering for the sake of others, one who is willing to always remember Krishna, such a person is blessed with the greatest fortune. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna concludes the Bhagavad Gita with a simple instruction. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mam evaishasi satyam te prati jani priyosime. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. I promise you this, because you are my dear friend. Every living being is the dear friend of God. And how to always think of Krishna? The Supreme Lord himself has descended into this world to show us the simple process, how we can always remember him, how we can think of him constantly. And that is through glorifying his holy name. Nama Sankirtanam Vishnor. The Vishnu Purana describes that there is nothing more auspicious than the congregational chanting of the name of God. It describes even the most utterly inauspicious condition of life becomes completely auspicious as soon as the name of God is chanted. Kathanchana smrate yashmin duskaram sukaram bhave vismrate viparitam shat shri chaitanyam namamitam. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that the most difficult obstacle imaginable is easily overcome if one remembers in the core of his heart the name of God. And even the simplest thing becomes impossible for one who forgets the Supreme Lord of one's life. Therefore, the real standard of our elevation or degradation has nothing to do with the material conditions of our life. It is determined by the internal quality of our consciousness. How much and how we are remembering Krishna. When we cry out for Krishna with sincere devotion and helpless dependence, that moment you are the wealthiest person in all of creation. And when you forget Krishna and think, how nice, I have everything under control, you are spiritually in poverty. Therefore, Ranti Dev demonstrated by his life not simply by words. Anybody could give nice lecture describing these virtues, but then when the test comes, we run away. We hide somewhere. Bhante Dev was not like this. He practiced what he preached. This was based on faith. Faith in the mercy of God and faith in the holy name. So you know, as described in Bhagavatam, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana saravai gunaistatra samasate sura harav abhaktasyukato mahadguna manorati davati davato bahi. This means that all the qualities of God, the sadhus, and the demigods are all manifested to one who surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This quality of Bhante Dev, the great king, this glorious quality of Prahlad Maharaj, that very quality is your very essence, because you are as much part of God as they are. By chanting God's name with a sincere vow of determination and with a sincere desire to please the Lord, these natural qualities awaken from within us. So therefore, there is no more sublime benediction in all of the creation than the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For by vibrating the sacred syllables of the holy name of Krishna, the great treasure of divine love is opened and revealed from within the core of our heart. And then we could learn how to enjoy the real riches of the mercy of God. And we can share those riches with everyone and everyone and bring real happiness to the world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Speak very loud for everyone can hear. Stand up and... you speak in mic. You have to know how to give charity. Bhagavad Gita describes there is charity in the mode of passion, charity of the mode of ignorance, and charity in the mode of goodness. And there's also transcendental charity, divine charity. So therefore, through study of Shastra and through inquiring from the great sadhus, you must understand how to give charity and to whom. Charity in the mode of goodness is without consideration of the proper place, the proper person, or the proper method. If you give prasad to someone who you know will eat it, that is divine and spiritual. You are giving him not only food to nourish his body, but food to nourish his soul. If you give a person something
where you know that that person is going to take that and use it for illicit, destructive activities, that is charity in the mode of ignorance. You are not elevated by such charity. That is not the service of God. We cannot be sentimental. Everything we do has to be based on knowledge, not sentiment. Huh? Otherwise, our so-called service can actually be doing damage. Huh? Just like if your child is sick and the child is not supposed to eat a particular type of food, but she wants it. Huh? Give me this food. So you say, oh, it'll make her happy, let me give it to her. And then she gets 10 times more sick. Is that charity? Is that compassion? No. Charity means you give the child what the child actually needs, not necessarily what she wants. Love means with a genuine concern for the person's welfare. Huh? So we have to, we don't discriminate who we give mercy to, but we must discriminate whether it is mercy. Huh? Whether it is the will of God. In this matter, we must be very discriminant. Just like a doctor may have a free medical clinic, doesn't discriminate who he treats. He'll treat anybody, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, Hindu, Christian, Muslim, or Jew. Huh? He'll treat anybody. But he'll discriminate how he treats each person. It's not that he'll give everyone the same injection and say, I'm equal to all. That is called ignorance. You give every person exactly what they need to uplift them and make them healthy. Huh? Yes, Maharaj. That is like the doctor who's not willing to diagnose the patient. Just give everyone the same thing. Huh? Is that compassion? Whatever we should do should be based on knowledge. Real charity, Krishna makes a distinction. Charity in the mode of ignorance does not elevate you, it degrades you. Charity in the mode of passion further binds you. Charity in the mode of goodness uplifts your soul, your consciousness. And when you give God, when you give Krishna, that charity liberates your soul and liberates the soul of those persons who you are sharing your life with. So therefore, if we really are truly concerned with helping persons, we must have knowledge and we must discriminate. It's not a very compassionate concept to simply give without understanding what we're giving or how it will benefit another. Bhagavad Gita describes. Should I read? This is from the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That gift which is given out of duty at the proper time and place to a worthy person and without expectation of return is considered to be charity in the mode of goodness. Purport. In the Vedic literature, charity given to a person engaged in spiritual activities is recommended as the highest charity, of course. But charity performed with the expectation of some return or with a desire for fruit of results or in a grudging mood is said to be charity in the mode of passion. And charity performed in an improper place and time and given to unworthy persons without respect and with contempt is charity in the mode of ignorance.
I thank you very much.